Barrel podcast for December, which is a lot like the month of December. You know, December is actually a December in German.
There you go.
And I'm taking German right
now. Studying.
That explains that, yes. December 3rd, 2007. Off to a good start, as always.
Yes, we always have spectacular beginnings.
All right, well, we're going to have a very busy show this week.
Oh, man.
Thanks to a little, I don't know.
Incident.
GameSpot Gate, what are they calling it?
I don't know. It's got all kinds of names.
Yeah, but yeah, there's been some interesting stuff going on in the industry. But I'll go give you the rundown for the show. We got news, which, yes, we're going to be talking about the whole happenings at GameSpot for a while. Then we're going to do the best ever. I'll tell you right now, we're actually going to start kind of, you know, a countdown to our game of the year, sort of. There's 5 weeks left in the year, so we're going to start, you know, going through our favorites. Today we're both going to talk about our fifth favorite game of the year, then next week the fourth, so on and so on, until December 31st, actually.
Yep,
we will give you our game of the years.
It's the best ever this year.
Yes, yes, it's really the best ever. And then after that, we're going to talk about the games we've been playing this week. Then I'm going to do my Adventures in Final Fantasy, and I have been playing Final Fantasy.
I've been playing a lot.
I just stopped playing to do this.
No, that's why we're recording so late tonight.
Yeah, this is about normal for us, really. But, yes, I've been playing that. Then we're going to talk about the downloadable game releases, weekly game releases, then the 411 on 411. That, yeah, pretty catchy. Adj Guy thought of that one.
Thank you.
I'm just going to talk about some of the recent articles that are on 411mania.com/games, you know, to encourage you to go read them.
All right.
And, well, with that said, I think we really need to, you know,
all right, so if you've been anywhere near the internet in the last couple of days, you've certainly heard about all the drama going on over at GameSpot. To give the short version of it, Jeff Gerstmann, who's been a reviewer and editor at GameSpot for over 10 years, gave the game Kane and Lynch Dead Men a 6 out of 10 review. At the time, Kane and Lynch was being heavily advertised on GameSpot to the point where you wouldn't be blamed if you thought that was the Kane and Lynch website. It was so blatant. And this review came up, the ads were gone the next day, and then suddenly Jeff was fired.
Now, wait a second. You had the story a little bit wrong. The review went up 2 weeks ago.
Yes, this is true. There was some time between the firing.
And I've heard the time explained in that the reason why there was so much time between the firing was that if, you know, they fired him, there was still more big games to be reviewed. Because they came out in November, they waited till all the big reviews
were
done. Yeah,
they let him finish all his work.
Because they know their other reviewers weren't going to write anything after this
exactly
happened.
So, this, of course, is brought into question, is GameSpot letting its editorial coverage be influenced by the advertisement revenue, basically? Is the business end muddling with the content end?
Well, it seems to be a yes.
Yeah. Like, so far, every answer that has been given out by GameSpot and CNET, which is GameSpot's parent company, has been the typical kind of corporate bullshit, basically, where it's just saying either they'll say no comment, we don't comment on these sort of things, or they'll just say, like, oh, we always have integrity, and Jeff's firing was unfortunate, blah, blah, blah.
Interesting, though, that GameSpot's own employees on their own GameSpot blogs, they have a lot to say about it. They're not very happy. I mean, some of them
are
less direct, but there's at least one employee who actually made a point that everyone should cancel their, like, whatever GameSpot subscription thing is. They should cancel it. And he was keeping track of how much money, you know, they were losing due to all the cancellations. And it was, last time I checked, it was up to like 5,000 or something. That was yesterday.
Yeah. Then there's another supposed GameSpot insider who posts on the site ValleyWag. And, they said they were talking to Josh Larson, who is the executive editor, who replaced Greg Cassavin after he left to work at Electronic Arts. And basically, the gist of what he was saying was not only were they like dodging the questions about this, like why was Jeff fired, but quoted from his comments, he also implied that AAA titles deserved more attention when they were being reviewed, which sounded to all of us that he was implying that they should get higher scores, especially since those titles are usually more highly advertised on our site, close quote.
Now, you know what? I don't know what's more absurd about that comment. The fact that he's insinuating that AAA titles should just be reviewed better because they're AAA titles, or the fact that he thinks that Kane and fucking Lynch is a AAA
title.
Yeah,
is anyone surprised that this game... I mean, sure, Eidos threw a lot of money at it, but who cares?
Kane? No, seriously, though. Kane and Lynch?
Yeah, with every other game that came out last month.
Honestly, yeah, okay, listen, idios or whatever you're called, idios. Like idiot, get it?
How you say it.
Idios. Let's just call them idios. But listen, okay, when your game comes out the same month as freaking Super Mario Galaxy, Rock Band, Mass Effect, you know, you don't get to call yourself a AAA game. I'm sorry.
It's just been fun to watch everything. Like, for example, GameSpot had to shut off user reviews for the game.
Because they were going
because
down.
Because people were just rating it 1.0.
Even on other websites. The game's
user score is 2.6 out of 10 right
on
now.
On 1UP, it's like the same thing. The game's score.
Yeah, no one's going to buy this game. This was such a bad move.
You know, I bet people would be calling for a boycott of the game if it wasn't for the fact that no one was going to buy it anyway.
Yeah, seriously. Destructoid has registered CashWhore.com and has changed up their page, so it is now CashWhore instead of GameSpot.
It looks pretty funny. It's pretty clever. You should check that out.
I suggest everyone go check it out before they change it back, because it's pretty funny. GameSpot employee Aaron Thomas has explained why more employees aren't speaking up on the matter. Quote, "This isn't GameSpot suddenly clamping down on me or any of us here. This is how it is for anyone with a job." GameSpot freelancer Frank Provo, "Personally, my respect for CNET is shot, and writing for GameSpot is going to feel like a chore for quite some time going forward." Now, rumor has it, one of the new community managers on the GameSpot forum has said that he expects official word to be released on Tuesday. So maybe we'll finally get clarification on why exactly Jeff was fired.
Well, I mean, the official word as in the word from CNET. So
exactly.
It could be BS.
So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt, whatever it ends up being, right?
Right. But there's a lot to talk about here. First, I mean, what about Jeff?
Personally, I mean, this sucks for this poor guy. I would hope he gets hired somewhere else. I mean, he has 10 years writing reviews, experience, editor positions. I mean, he's not like some rookie guy who was sent out to be crucified. I mean, this guy is a major player in the industry. I would not be surprised if within the next few weeks you see him show up on 1UP or IGN or, you know, any number of sites like that.
Remember, there was a lot of controversy about his Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah,
because
he gave it, what, like an 8.8 or something?
And yeah, people were very mad at the time.
Hey, I mean, honestly,
you know what?
I could
looking
totally
back
understand.
At it, yeah, when I saw it, I was like, whoa, man. You just gave a Zelda game below a 9?
Yeah, seriously.
But, you know what? 8.8 might be about right for Twilight.
Yeah,
Princess.
I'd say so.
I mean, that's a good score.
And really, what this really drives home is just how nutso the entire gaming industry has gone with the importance of review scores. I mean, literally, PR people for different game companies will either get penalized or bonuses depending on how well a game scores.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like they made the game.
They look at GameRankings.com.
Oh, seriously. The industry is driven by that website.
Medical.
There are literally times I've heard horror stories of employees will not receive their bonuses if a game scores below something like 75% on GameRankings.
It's a little silly. I mean, games like Okami have showed that getting 90s doesn't mean great sales.
Exactly.
Games like
and games like Enter the Matrix have shown that 5s don't mean you're not going to sell.
So I don't know why they're so crazy about it.
And it's like there was about a year and a half ago, I believe it was, Computer Gaming World magazine, which eventually became Games for Windows, the official magazine, actually tried not having review scores. They just had the review. If you wanted to know if the game was good, you had to read the review. All the publishers got pissed. Within, I think, 4 months, they had to change back. And publishers and the readers got pissed, too, because no one wants to read their views. They just want to flip, see the score, and like a little bullet point of pros and cons, and then that's how they decide if they like the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all guilty of, at one point or another, kind of being a little score happy. We do it all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, for a game I really don't care that much about, but if I happen to be flipping through a magazine or a website and I see it's got like an 8 or a 9, I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe I'll read this now.
But our industry, it's number driven. It always has been.
It totally is. It's kind of sad.
How many bytes are in this game? You know, what's the review score? How many systems did you sell this month? It's just that. How many bits? I mean, come on. They had to call it Nintendo 64. They actually named a console after how many bits it had.
Bits
or
the system had.
Oh, come on. What? But, I mean, you know, it's just a number-driven thing, and we kind of got to a point of no return. We can't just – it would take someone big to say we're not going to do numbers in our reviews anymore.
Yeah. I mean, CGW tried, but, yeah, maybe they just because it's a PC gaming specialty magazine, which is kind of a limited audience. If someone like IGN just stopped giving numbers, which they would never do.
Oh, no, not IGN. It's kind of weird, though, because, like, it's kind of weird that GameSpot gets punished for this, because they've always been known for being hard on reviews, you know?
Yeah.
They've always given out the lower scores.
Lower than average scores from GameSpot's nothing new.
I mean, was anybody surprised besides Idios to see a 6.0 from GameSpot to Canon Lynch?
Yeah, what is the game ranking for this game?
It's like a 70 on
game
ranking.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like...
It's not that far.
I mean, look at the game. I mean, I understand it's got a good story, but, I mean, the basic gameplay is it's a basic third-person shooter with a kind of lackluster cover system and not all that great graphics. I mean, what do they want?
I saw Jeff's video review on YouTube.
Which got pulled. Yeah, it got pulled from the site.
Which, of course, is
the text review was changed a bit.
Yeah, it got pulled, and they want to say that his firing has nothing to do with that review. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, now, what about GameSpot? What is the future of GameSpot now?
They need to do some serious ass-kissing to a lot of people.
But what about their employees now? But, like, think about it. No matter what they're going to do, they're going to either get their advertisers upset, which they need, or they're going to get their readers upset, which they need, or they're going to get their editorial staff upset, which they need.
Yeah, they're in a very tough place. Honestly, I can't believe they would have fired him so soon after. So you think they could have waited a month and then let him go and then make up some bullshit reason, just be like, well, cutbacks, and he's been here for a while and we want to bring a new talent.
They said no one could wait like a month. They said no one knew about it, too. He was just went to his office when
he went
was
to,
locked
like,
out.
The locks were changed.
I don't know. But you think GameSpot's going to exist in a year from now?
Yeah, it will, only because it's part of a bigger company like CNET. But I know, like, and you were talking about people canceling their subscriptions. I mean, I was just on the 1UP forums today, and there's literally a flood of GameSpot people who have created new accounts and 1UP and are posting there.
I was kind of just browsing through the GameSpot community, and a lot of them said that they were going to migrate to 1UP.
Yeah, I mean... I don't, like, that's the thing. I just wonder, I mean, obviously you and I care about this story because we're more of the hardcore crowd. I wonder if the average GameSpot viewer, which, I mean, you got to think, if you're going to a gaming website already, you're probably pretty hardcore as it is. I wonder what percentage of their average daily user base actually knows what's going on.
Well, unless they read the forums, they're not going to find out from GameSpot.
Yeah, oh yeah, GameSpot's not saying anything about
this. But, I mean,
this.
I liked GameSpot, you know?
Honestly, I really stopped going to that site regularly a long time ago. Between going to Joystick, Kotaku, Evil Avatar, and 1UP, I pretty much get everything I need there.
Yeah, well, I stopped. Yeah, news-wise, GameSpot hasn't been very good, but I still liked the reviews.
Yeah,
I never cared for their video content lately. Game Trailers has that covered.
Oh yeah, like GameSpot Complete was one of the. I'm sad to say I had that for a year, and it was one of the biggest rip-offs ever. It was like you get to look at our videos in HD. Great.
Yeah, whatever.
Thank you.
GameTrailers.com.
Yeah, seriously.
So, I don't know. Maybe GameSpot wouldn't even be missed nowadays. But I don't know. I felt like as an editorial voice, just for reviews, they were important. Because they were a little harder. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, that very thing has been discouraged amongst them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just a bizarre situation. And it's scary, though, because we hear about this. How many times do we not hear about advertisers having an effect on a game's review score?
Oh yeah, I mean it's any time a game scores really high, that's always a thought. Like, I mean, a lot of people thought that when 1UP gave Halo 3 a 10, and just trying to think of other instances of it. I mean, nothing's gone off the top of my head, but I mean, any time like a game that people, I mean, a high profile game is always going to have people who hate it just because it's a high profile game, and when that high profile game does get a high score, then they like to just cry foul.
Hasn't happened with Mario yet, though, too much.
No.
Everyone let Mario get away with it.
But even then, it was funny to watch 1UP get bitched out because they only gave it a 9.
Well, they gave it a 9.5.
Oh. Bastards.
So 1UP did. Well, they, 1UP has been giving out a lot of 10s lately.
They have been.
So I can almost understand. That's the problem with 1UP. They give out too many 10s.
Yeah, I think they try to be relative to the genre. Like, I mean, Virtua Fighter 5 got a 10, but that's because it felt like the best fighting game there is, not the best game ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gears of War, 10. Halo 3, 10. Virtua Fighter 5, 10. Super Mario Galaxy, 9.5. Well, what's wrong? You see, that's what they think. Which is, it's not the right way, but that's what people think. Another reason to get rid of numbers. And I say that, but I mean, and part of me doesn't even mean it. Part of me knows I love those numbers. I love going on game rankings. Like, oh, Mario Galaxy Top to Ocarina of Time is the best game ever. You know, it's the industry we've been bred on. And this is just an interesting situation. I hope it doesn't lose steam. I hope people just don't forget about this. We just become complacent and we stop caring. But I think there are some ramifications for this thing yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, things need to be explained. The only way GameSpot's going to get any cred back with the user base is they need to be transparent about this and say, okay, this is what happened. And this also, I hope, sends a message to the upper management at GameSpot that says, okay, if we muck around with the editorial content by trying to influence based on our ad companies, then people are going to call bullshit on it. It's not like they don't notice this. And we can't keep doing that. So, I mean, hopefully this just kind of brings some editorial integrity back.
I hope so. But they have a long road ahead of them. This isn't over
and
yet.
Just one little story within the story that I think is worth mentioning is a bunch of 1UPers actually went down to GameSpot's offices. It's only 2 blocks away, and they actually...
You mean the actual Ziff Davis staff?
Yeah, members, which includes 1UPers and other members of Ziff Davis Media. But they all they had 2 banners made up, and they all just kind of had a little rally in support of the GameSpot editors. So, I mean, it's their direct competition, but even everyone realizes this could have major ramifications depending on how this plays out.
Right. Well, I hope it doesn't play out in a way that we decide that it's okay to have our advertisers influence our scores.
Yes.
But, you know, who knows? Worst case scenario.
So you ready for some more bad news?
What else happened?
Star Trek MMO going more casual. This comes from Shaq News. Apparently, developer Perpetual was acquired by new ownership, and they canceled their other MMO they had in the works, Gods and Wars or something.
That got canceled.
They're
working on it.
I know,
for a long
time. And Star Trek Online is going to be a more casual game. So, sorry, I think your dreams of being captain of 200 people on a ship have been crushed.
Yeah, our listeners may not know, but I'm a pretty big Trekkie. You would say so.
Oh,
already.
You have every episode ever on DVD.
I do.
Like there they are. Them. Like there's 21 box sets.
Yeah, there they are. I love them. But I mean, maybe this will still be fun. I don't know, but. The original game they explained sounded awesome.
I know.
There are so many alien races, and not just obvious ones too, man. They had Andorians in there. I mean, you could be a lot of races. And now I feel like, okay, I bet we're going to be humans or Vulcans or Klingons. Maybe Klingons will be in the Federation for no reason.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not as excited about this.
Yeah, and apparently a number of the developers have actually left Perpetual because they are not pleased with the new direction the game is going.
Oh, that's sad. They even had Okuda, which is a designer for Star Trek working on it. I don't know if he has anything to do with it anymore. But.
And also, they're considering issuing the monthly fees for that kind of Korean model of paying real-life money for in-game items that are quote-unquote optional, but better.
This is sounding worse than
worse. Yeah. So.
All right, rest in peace, Star Trek Online. You are going to be awesome in my dreams. Yeah. Well, you know, the good news is that, you know, if Star Trek Online did come out and it was awesome, I may have lost my
life.
This
is true. You may have never turned it
Maybe it's
awesome.
For the best. I mean, you know, 10 years down the line, though, I mean, maybe we'll get the Star Trek Online I really wanted.
Hopefully, if the new movie comes out and that serves to kind of revitalize the Trek franchise, which has kind of been dying in the last couple of years.
Well, yes. Yeah,
maybe
definitely.
Then we'll get that game.
It's kind of weird, though, because right now, I mean... Your Star Trek audience is not casual.
Yeah, seriously.
So, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. We'll see what their product looks like. I'm just, like I said, not excited anymore.
So, I'll move on to the Xbox 360. There's two areas worth discussing briefly. The November 07 backwards compatibility update was released last week.
Oh, boy.
Notable games on the list include ESPN Football 2K5, the game Freedom Fighters, which actually was... made by the same dev team that made Kane and Lynch. Star Wars Jedi Starfighter, one of my favorite games from last generation. The Bard's Tale and Lord of the Rings The Third Age. This list brings the Xbox's total BC list to over 300 titles.
Oh boy, still no Oddworld Strangers.
Not Chronicles of Riddick. The last 2 Prince of Persia games are missing from the list.
Well, they can keep that second one.
And I'm still waiting. They put MVP Baseball 2003 and 4, but not 5. That's the one I have. That was the last one they made. So, also we have the dashboard update is coming December 4th, and all the details of that have been released.
Goody.
We've already talked about the Xbox originals and the parental timer. also is going to be the friend of friend feature, which will let you look at, if you have a friend's on your friend list, you could look at his friend list. And actually, a pretty neat application I saw suggested by Tycho over at Penny Arcade is because a lot of people have been clamoring for clan support within Xbox Live, which is still not there. But you could create an Xbox Live Silver account with your like what you want your clan to be, have everybody get on that friend list, and then you just you're friends with the clan tag, and then that way you can see everybody else who's in the clan that way.
Kind of convoluted.
What's that?
Kind of
convoluted. Yeah, but it works.
Well, whatever, whatever.
Let's see, we also have, they're calling it Twist Navigation, which people have made it sound like it's kind of a knockoff of the cross media bar on the PS3, but all it is just horizontally laid out menus. Basically now when you go to, like, you'll just click a thing that's like games, and then you'll scroll from the top, like all games, arcade games, demos, retail games, and Xbox originals, and then you could look at them all that way.
Okay.
So yeah, we got that.
Interface stuff.
Something
whatever.
That Chris is happy about, child account migration will allow you to make a child account and not child account after they've turned 18. Which I don't know why that was something so hard to do before.
Right.
And they're also letting child accounts use the Messenger chat program.
Oh boy.
And they have DivX and XVID compatibility for viewing video files. So
what do I hear DivX? I think of
the players. We
yeah,
still
the
have
old
ours.
DivX.
And there's just various fixes and tweaks to the system. Like, I know they've promised they're improving the whole thing. If you have auto sign-in turned on with the Wi-Fi adapter, you know, like it doesn't sign you into Live right away, that's going to get fixed.
Are we almost done with this? This is boring me out.
That's why
mind.
I did it early. Okay, we're
okay.
done.
All right, thank God.
New PSP battery.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm getting the boring stuff out of the way for you. This is coming out mid-December for $44.99. It will double the life of the PSP 2000 model. Because it's a slightly bulkier battery, it comes with a piano black and silver battery cover. Although, I don't know what you do if you have a white PSP and you want the cover. So, maybe they'll have some just ordered online for free or something.
You're looking at me like I should be mad.
You're looking at me like you are mad.
I don't care. I don't care about you fuckers with white PSPs. You can go suffer and have an unmatching black cover.
Square Enix. God. There, you like them.
I guess so.
They're undecided if the next MMO that they're working on is going to be a Final Fantasy game. This comes from an interview in Kama Sutra where Emily Balestrieri, that's a weird last name, she sat down for a talk with Square Enix VP Hiromichi Tanaka. Tanaka said in the interview, "As you might already know, members from the current Final Fantasy XI team are working on a next-generation MMO, but it still hasn't been decided whether that's going to be a game in the Final Fantasy series, a continuation, or a totally new game. We are working on it, but it hasn't been decided that far yet." To me, this kind of really just shows how, as long as you just throw in, like, Phoenix Downs, Chocobo, and Moogles, you've got a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah. I hope they don't make another numbered Final Fantasy game in MMO. That's just silly.
Yeah.
I mean, they can call it Final Fantasy Online, call it Final Fantasy XI Part 2. I mean, you know, just don't call this Final Fantasy 14. I mean, I'm kind of excited that they're making another one.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, Final Fantasy XI was a little too old school for me. It was kind of a grind fest. So maybe they'll incorporate some more, like... I mean, I kind of hate to say it, but
yeah,
more
it kind of
WoW
came out before... It came out before things. WoW. Oh, this will have to be more WoW influenced.
Yeah, it does really well
in Japan. What MMORPG isn't? I mean, that's what's happening with Star Trek Online, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
That is getting WoW-ified.
Yeah, I mean, that even happened to the newest expansions for, like, Star Trek... Or Star Wars Galaxies and...
Yeah, everything's getting WoW-ified.
Yep.
I mean, most new MMOs are WoW.
9 million like people WoW. Can't be wrong.
Yeah.
So, we've all been enjoying Rock Band, but unfortunately our guitars have been less than happy. Harmonix has finally come out to address some of the issues surrounding guitars in Rock Band. First, there are complaints about the Guitar Hero 3 Les Pauls not working on Rock Band on the PlayStation 3. Harmonix kind of vaguely quoted that they are committed to providing the best play experience possible and working hard to ensure that we solve these problems as soon as possible. We promise to keep you updated, and in the meantime, we thank you for your patience. I don't know if that means they're going to patch the game so it can use them, or if they're in talks with Red Octane to figure out a way to get it to work or what. But hopefully that'll work, because as it is right now, there's no other way to get a second guitar for Rock Band on the PS3 until they release the standalone ones early next year.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Shouldn't have gotten the PS3 version.
Also, we have acknowledgement, finally, of the fact that, yes, the guitars are broken. Quote, many of you have contacted us regarding your guitar controllers. As sometimes happens when new products first go into manufacturing, we discover an imperfection with the strum bar in an early production run of guitars that were shipped at launch. We want to inform you that we have since identified and fixed the issue in all subsequent production runs of the guitars. I don't know if they mean they found that out after they shipped it, or like they made the first batch and boxed them, or like, ooh, these are broken. Well, we'll fix these and ship the other ones anyway. Hopefully that's not the case.
Well, it might be, whatever. We'll get our new guitar. I mean,
yes, our new one finally should be arriving today.
Oh, yeah, today.
Monday.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of the long wait, I just received an email today, Sunday, from Harmonix that basically apologized for the fact that it has taken them a week and a half to ship it when the website said we should have it within 3 to 5 days.
Okay, wait a second. You, within the span of 2 minutes, I referred to today as Sunday and as Monday.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's just, you know, if you want to go with the whole fictional, oh, it's Monday thing, you can go with it.
Okay. Yesterday, I got an email.
Thank you.
Sunday.
Thank you.
Okay. The emails have been going out to everybody, and it says that we will be getting another email detailing how we can request a free EA game. I'm sure we'll get a list that we can pick from, and it might be some junk, but kind of in the age of, oh, your hardware's broken, we'll send you a box, you can mail it to us, in like 4 weeks you'll get it back. This is pretty nice.
I wonder what game we'll be getting.
What's that?
I really wonder what game we're getting.
Yeah, hopefully they'll send out that second email soon and we can figure that out.
Hey, it's something we don't want, we can just, I don't know, sort of give it away as a prize or something, maybe?
Ooh, we could do that. Alright, so you guys will all hope that it's a game we don't want, and then you can have it. So you're talking before about how the industry is number-driven. Well, here's some more. Assistant producer of Metal Gear Solid 4, Ryan Payton, said that Metal Gear Solid 4 needs to sell over 1 million copies on day one to recoup dev costs. Considering that 2 PS3 games have sold 1 million copies to date, let alone on launch day, I don't think this is going to happen.
Right. What'd you say? I wasn't paying attention.
Metal Gear Solid 4 needs to sell 1 million copies on day one.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that must have taken out of context. Like, why would he really say that?
I don't know. It's kind of fueling more fire to the belief that exclusives are dead.
I guess so. I mean, which is kind of true, but I don't know, it seems like a funny thing for him to say.
Maybe it'll get
people
feel bad for
them.
Be like, oh, I better buy the game on day one or they won't make any more.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, this is happy. Pokemon Snap will be coming to the Japanese Wii Virtual Console this week, so hopefully it means America soon. And it is the first Virtual Console title to get updated Wii functionality. When I first read this, I thought it meant Wiimote support in the game, but what actually will happen is you can take your pictures on the game and put them onto the Wii message board, which will then let you send them to friends over the internet.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's just significant because this is a precedent of new functionality being added to virtual console games.
Hopefully it doesn't mean they'll like jack the price up on the game.
Well, I bet it will, but you know, we'll be happy for
it. This won't be a price jacking. Shaq News has reported that new BioShock downloadable content is on its way.
Oh yeah.
2K
good.
Community manager Elizabeth Toby told Shaq News the DLC will at least include extra plasmids for players to mess around with, a way to disable the Vita chambers for hardcore play, and bugs fixes. We'll also address the game's field of vision perspective after everyone was all upset about the whole widescreen, full screen thing.
Right.
And it'll be completely free.
Oh, wait, this is free? Oh,
yeah,
geez.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Because remember a few months back, I think we reported how people found in the INI files of the PC version of the game, like, plasmids that were, like, listed and mentioned as DLC. So I guess those will be the ones.
Oh, that's good. I hope they're fun. I hope, like, really cool.
Yeah,
because
at this point, I just want to go through the game and fuck around.
Not more like you know, hacking things or bonus stat things, you know.
Another expansion coming is the Warhawk expansion, which has been detailed at the PlayStation blog. It's called Operation Omega Dawn. Clever, huh? why do you find that so funny?
Stupid name. God, did somebody's 13-year-old kid come up with that one? Operation Omega Dawn?
Maybe, I don't know.
Jesus
anyway,
Christ.
It has one new vehicle, the KT-424 Combat Dropship, A new map called the Omega Factory, which features 6 different layouts and a nighttime setting. And the whole thing is $8.
Well, it's a lot of money, but, you know, it might be worth it. I just can't go. Omega Dawn? What does that even mean?
I don't know. Well, the stage is called the Omega Factory, and they have night settings, so.
I wonder what the Alpha Dawn was like. Omega Dawn. Isn't that a dinosaur, the Omega Dawn?
God, I hope so.
All right, pull it together. Oh,
okay. Smash Brothers.
It was a leaf eater, right? With the long neck.
Stop it. Smash Brothers. We're going to talk about Smash Brothers. classic melee stages will be in Brawl.
Oh, this was huge news.
They've confirmed that.
I hate the first stage that they announced.
It's one of my favorites, the temple stage. But more will be announced in the future. They need something to stretch out the next 2 months.
Final Destination.
With any luck, you could probably just make it.
Well, I want that Final Destination.
So, yeah. And last but not least, it just broke yesterday. Vivendi has bought a majority of stock in Activision, and they have formed Activision Blizzard. According to an interview with Blizzard... I think their president, done by 1UP. This basically will be completely transparent for gamers. There's not going to be, like, an Activision Blizzard logo that will be stamped in front of every game. Blizzard games will still just be Blizzard. Like,
good, because they have a very pretty logo.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're not going to see an Activision Blizzard logo on something like Guitar Hero or, like, a... No.
You won't?
It'll just still be Activision. Like,
but why... What,
basically, I guess they just what love I... A name. I mean, this is... It's really a confusing deal, but what I understand is basically all the... business end of the company is going to be handled by Activision. And Vivendi's just left to running its independence, like, its various arms of the studio. Because, like, I mean, in addition to having Blizzard, Vivendi also has Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, a few other properties like that.
It's no Warcraft.
Yeah.
But we like it just
and,
fine.
And, you know, other people have been like, why isn't it called Activision Vivendi? Why is it Activision Blizzard?
That's my question. Probably because Blizzard's a better
because
name.
Blizzard makes millions of dollars a month.
Vivendi's no pushover of a company either. They used to own Universal. Yeah. I mean, NBC or someone.
Universal. It's still. I think it was Vivendi Universal.
Well, yeah. Is it still?
So
I don't know.
Again, this should be completely transparent to us. It's just more of a business maneuver.
Well, okay, you can move on. You're looking at me like you want me to add something.
Well,
I got nothing.
And this is just my last thing. After last week, when Mike suggested that we would do an all-musical version of the Exploding Barrel podcast, and I said I would do it only if a majority of you said yes, not only do we get no yeses, we actually got one explicitly telling us no. So
thank you
to that person. We will not be singing anytime in the future.
I have hope someday. It will be fantastic. I know you don't believe, but it'll be so good.
Well, that's the news.
All right. Hey, by the way, remember, I was just thinking about this. This is when I was distracted. I got an email from an Eric Gorelick. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. And I don't think – I got this a couple weeks ago, but I don't think I talked about it last week. I was talking about SmackDown versus Raw 08.
Oh, yeah, you know? We meant to give this guy props last week and forgot.
Yeah, and he went in – I was wondering out loud what the Wii version was like. And he went ahead and detailed it for me. And basically, he says the controls are, you know, a bit waggly and whatnot. But that doesn't seem to be his problem. The whole game's a little gimped mode-wise. Like, it doesn't have as many modes. There's not as many match types. There's only one freaking weapon in the game, a chair, he says. So, seems there's a whole lot less variety there. But, he didn't seem too thrilled with the product. But thank you for sharing that with us,
well
Eric.
Well done, sir.
Yeah. Now I don't have to play.
All right.
I keep playing the good 360 version. All right, but let's go ahead then and move on to the best ever.
This year.
Best of the year ever. Part one.
Of five.
Number five. That's really confusing.
Yeah.
Number five. This is our fifth favorite game
yes.
of the year. And, I mean, I guess there's nothing to it. You just got to get to it. So why don't you start?
I will start with my number five game of the year. And This is still an excellent game, which tells you just how crazy a year this was. But number five for me is BioShock.
That low?
Yeah. I know, right? I mean, just because it's number five, it certainly does not mean this game is not absolutely incredible, because it is.
That low?
Yeah.
I'm interested to find out in the coming weeks what you put above it.
I think it's fair. But,
okay, what did you like about BioShock so much?
I mean,
and what maybe you didn't like about that would have put it higher?
Honestly, what killed it for me was the
ending.
End.
I know you didn't
but
like
not
the
only,
ending.
Not only, I mean, not only just the ending, like the cutscene that plays at the end, but the fact that the last mission boiled down to basically a kind of cookie-cutter escort mission, and then you had this really cheesy final boss encounter.
The boss itself was okay. It was a bit cliche. Yeah. I wouldn't call it cheesy. A little cliche.
But I remember a game that was so groundbreaking and everything else it did, to just have that cliched last boss and then a movie plays, was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, the ending itself wasn't great. By the way, did you hear about how like there's some people from 2K Boston, the people who made BioShock, are making it another studio?
Yeah, 2K, some weird town I never heard
and
of.
And I heard that the reason they're doing that is those people are going to work on BioShock 2, but they splintered from 2K Boston because they don't want to work with Ken Levine
again. I didn't hear that.
Apparently, they don't like Ken Levine for whatever reason.
Interesting.
There's obviously a lot you liked about BioShock.
Oh, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, a lot of people said they didn't like this in the 360 version, how when you went to select your next plasma or weapon, the game froze. But I really appreciated that.
Oh, that was
Yeah,
great.
I thought it was a great way like of that? Letting you, because, I mean, there was a lot to manage there. And if you had to do all that switching in real time, it would have been impossible. Like, basically, I would have just equipped my best plasma and never would have switched. But because of that,
is the PC version not freeze? Is the PC version of it not freeze?
I think it does if you bring up the wheel, but you can also just assign everything to a hotkey.
Oh, well, yeah.
But,
right.
I mean, because of that, it really encouraged me to play around with every plasma I had at my disposal and try all the neat combinations. And, I mean, it had a fantastic setting, environment. I really liked the way it did its storytelling with the audio diaries, like that let you kind of piece together the backstory. And, I mean, the twist in that game was pretty cool.
It was.
Still don't want to spoil it, but gorgeous game. Yeah. Just a lot of fun to play, and it is on my top five game of the year.
I think we definitely agree that BioShock was the best demo of the year.
Oh, yeah.
When that demo came out.
Oh, God.
That demo was pretty
amazing.
Everyone
played
I remember
when's this come out?
Yeah, when the night that demo came out, everybody was suddenly like, you know, BioShock had a lot of hype before.
Well, it was one of those games that everybody expected to be like Okami, where it was going to be critically acclaimed, but commercially unsuccessful. And I say a lot of that has to do with the fact that it came out in August when nothing else was out but Madden.
Yeah,
because
if that game came out
last month with everything else that came out, it would have gotten buried.
Yeah. No, it sold very well.
It did extremely well.
So, you know, props to BioShock. BioShock, Edge Guy, number five. All right, my number five. And I went with Pokemon Diamond. Not Pearl, because I had Diamond.
Same thing.
But, yeah, you know. But I am a fan of Pokemon. I was the ripe age for the whole Pokemon craze when it first started. So I was really into it. I mean, I had all the cards. I had the game. I had my level 100 Vaporeon. I watched the shows. I was there for the first movie. Got my free Mew card that came with it. I mean, it was, you know, I was a big fanboy at the time. It's true that, you know, my passion is nowhere near like it was then.
I had all 151 Pokemon in the original Blue legitimately. I was very proud of that.
Yes, I knew you would bring that up. But but the games themselves, you know, they were always still fun. But I never felt they were as good as the original Red and Blue. Gold and Silver were fine. Ruby and Sapphire, I didn't get into it as much. It was just the pacing was a little off for me. So I didn't get in that one as much. Leaf Green, Fire Red, you know, remakes. You know, I just couldn't. The magic wasn't there for me anymore. But Pokemon Diamond was. I think it's the best Pokemon game made since the originals.
Agreed.
Yeah, very great Pokemon game, and I mean it uses all the old standbys, like some you know to the point of cliches now, but a lot of interesting new Pokemon. There's a lot of cool. There really were some cool you know new features, especially like that whole underground cavern thing.
The game's finally starting. It still has a ways to go, I think, but it's finally getting more streamlined with the interface. Because I mean, the original Pokemon, considering these are kids' games, the UI in this game is pretty convoluted. There's a lot of menu
Inventory management especially was a lot easier to deal with.
And I know you didn't use it, but I really liked all the touchscreen options.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that was nothing against it. I just
liked it with the D-pad.
You know, whatever, it was there. It wasn't forced on me. I appreciated it.
It's finally, with it being online, made the trading and the battling aspects so much more viable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go on GameFAQs and you can find somebody to trade with.
Yeah, even in the summer,
you know?
I upheld a tournament for the game, and I got annihilated in the first round, but it was fun.
You got to play it. It has the best online functionality of any DS game or of any Nintendo game.
I have yet to beat it.
Really?
I think it was one of those cases where I was playing the game and something else came out, and then I haven't really touched it much since.
But I beat it, and I had fun collecting, you know, all the rare Pokemon and stuff, and I really got into it, and I had a very good time with it. Plus, there were new Eevee evolutions, and I love Eevee, so I have fun with that. And the reasons why it's not higher, I mean, it's still a Pokemon game. It didn't do anything terribly new or exciting, but, I mean, I'll say right now, it is the highest portable game on my list, so I give Pokemon Diamond huge props. I'm looking forward to the next Pokemon a couple years from now. All right. Yep. I guess that's it. That's next week we have our number four spots. All right, then. Let's go to our week in gaming. Sure. I'll start a little bit. Well, one thing I got this week, the only new game I bought this week was, we were in Best Buy. I forget what we were doing, but I saw some Tron game for the Game Boy Advance, $5, the Tron 2.0 killer app. I was like, well, hell, the worst Tron game is worth $5, you know?
And this includes Disc of Tron, which alone is worth $5.
It includes the original Tron arcade game and Disc of Tron, and they're both unlocked immediately. So far, those are the only two things I've played on it. And, hey, I love those old Tron games. I don't know how good the real game is. My only problem is, you know how the original Tron games, you had, like, the little dial you spun? Well, to simulate that, the L button spins it left, the R button spins it right. My L button's broken, so I can only spin clockwise,
that would be a problem.
Which is a bit annoying. I still was playing through it, but, you know, once I get a new DS, I guess I'm going to have to get a new DS eventually. It's the only way around it. Dang it. My L button.
Mine too, goes.
Ever since the original Game Boy Advance, my L button goes. I guess. I do take mine with me everywhere, but still.
That's why I'm still waiting to see if there's rumors of another DS redesign pan out.
We'll see. They wouldn't announce anything until after Christmas, I'm sure. But, you know, I love Tron, so I have fun with that. Besides that, I mean, it's been a lot of the same. Been playing, you know, more Rock Band, which is still a lot of fun.
I've been playing that too with you.
It sucks. When you're doing World Tour, like, you know, after a while, it's like you have to play expert now if you want any more fans. And it's getting harder because, like, if you're doing random song lists, like, certain songs will come up that you're just not going to pass. Like, any Metallica song that's not in Sandman. I regret buying that Metallica
song
pack.
It's freakishly hard on guitar. And I can't wait till the Fender gets back, because that'll at least make some of the solos a bit more easy.
Yeah. Chris, you know, makes things a drum easier when your yellow pad responds all the time. But, you know, I've been playing Rock Band, still like it. Assassin's Creed, still playing through it. I got two assassinations left. Repetitiveness, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, there's still a lot about Assassin's Creed I like. Mass Effect, I actually got to a point in Mass Effect where the game was, it auto-saved for you in pretty convenient spots for a while, so I was saving the game on my own, but not, you know, too much. And I got to a point where I died somewhere on Novaria, and it took me back like 40 minutes of gameplay. And I was just,
Well, since that happened to you, every time I finish a battle, I save. Like, I mean, I always did that anyway in KOTOR, but that's really what I've been playing most of this week, too. And I gotta say, I am so in love with that game. Because at first, I wasn't sure how I felt about the combat system, but now that my characters are higher level and I have access to more skills and abilities and weapon mods and stuff.
Because I'm still not sure about the combat myself.
I love it. Because when you get like the really cool biotic abilities, you can do some interesting stuff. And I also like to... I like it when RPGs do this, where your characters all level together. Like every one of them. All six characters and you.
Which is good,
because it encourages you to just swap them in and out and just try different combinations, rather than just saying...
Because that's been a complaint I've had with even some of the Final Fantasies I play. Because even, like, especially in 9, like, with characters, sometimes, a lot of the times, it's not like you choose your party, certain characters aren't in your party because they're off doing something else. But they come back to your party, they're still, like, whatever level you left them at, so, you know, you gotta work on them.
It's fun because, like, especially, like the planet you were on, Novaria, you're going after Matriarch Bedentia, who is Liari's mom. So I took her with me so I could see how it would pan out actually having her there. And I imagine if you do it without her, the whole encounter
is completely different. Without her.
Okay, well, you haven't got there yet, so you have to let me know how it pans out. But I even just did a side quest where you could talk to Garrus for a little while, and he'll talk about one of the guys he was tracking when he was still in CSEC, who got away, and he knew where he was, but CSEC never gave him authorization to go there. So Shepard offers to take care of it for him, and he asked that you take him with him. So I took him, and he got to like get his revenge on this guy, which was pretty cool to watch. And so it really just like that, how it encourages you to try everybody in your party and always change it up depending on the mission.
No, that is cool. That is cool. I mean, I'll get back to it probably sometime, maybe during Christmas break, maybe when I'm done with some Final Fantasies, you know what it is. One thing we did, which was kind of fun, was we took our Saturn out. We got a new battery for memory. We haven't really gone through the library too much, but we know we're messing around with it. I played Christmas Nights. Yeah. You know, it's Nights. I love Nights. It's fun. I got to unlock the karaoke version of Nights Nights, you know, in the
still
got to
unlock the Sonic Dream Hedgehog Delight level.
Yeah. Was that the first time Sonic was in 3D, or was it Sonic Dream Jam?
Sure,
I don't know
which
one came out first. Right. Not Sonic Extreme. But, you know, I love Nights. I really hope that the new Nights is any good. We have the PS2 remake, though, if it's not. Although, at this point, since I own the Saturn remake, it's still readily available. But what I was excited about was I realized that AG, actually, you got me Panzer Dragoon Saga, like,
for
a few
Christmas,
years ago. And, like, at the time, like, I was pumped, like, it was new and stuff, but I just never got around to it just because, actually, even at that time, I wasn't as RPG-friendly as I am
now.
Now
we got the Saturn hooked up with a fresh battery
and
everything,
Yeah, and I kind of forgot about it, and just now when I thought about it, I'm giddy about
it.
I can't
Final
wait
Fantasy,
to play it.
There you go.
Yeah, as soon as I'm done Final Fantasy, I'm going to be jumping into some Panzer Dragoon Saga.
You know what else?
That's
going
to be exciting.
I was surprised I was going through the options. There was an option for widescreen support for Christmas Nights. Yeah, I was shocked to find it. Yeah,
Saturn
I know. I was like, oh, good, because that's what this is hooked up to.
Well, there you go, I guess. Remember, so they said that was like a feature for some game recently. Like, it's going to have widescreen
Smash Brothers.
Support.
Yeah, like,
oh,
well,
yeah.
Duh. It's like saying,
I
like, it has
so.
Color.
Yeah. Interesting. That's what
I
played this week.
I just played Asteroids Deluxe and the Screwjumper Trials on XBLA. Nothing to report.
Nothing.
It's Asteroids.
You know, it's Asteroids.
And Screwjumpers, it's like, remember that little part in Ratchet and Clank where like you're skydiving and you use the six axis to move around? Imagine an entire game made of that.
I wouldn't like
really,
it.
Really, really loose and inaccurate controls.
Not for me. Okay. Well, I guess that's that then.
Time for
now,
the return.
Yes, the return to Mike's adventures in Final Fantasy.
I missed that.
Yeah, I know. I love it. All right, I've been back. I got back into 9. I promised I would be. And I mean, I got back into it hard, man. I put a good 10 hours in this past week, I want to say. I'm on disc 3 right now. There's only 4 discs. And if it's anything like 8, the 4th disc is just the last battle. You know what's actually exciting is I actually caught up pretty much to where I was the last time I played the game a couple years ago.
I didn't realize you got that far last time.
Yeah, I actually did get pretty far, because when I was playing it last time, I was playing it just for something to do until Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, because that was
Kingdom
driving me crazy.
Kingdom Hearts 2 came out?
Yeah, well, then Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, and, like, I meant to get back to it, but, you know, after Kingdom Hearts 2, some other thing, you know how it is. I play Kingdom Hearts 2 a lot, but, you know, I'm back there, so I'm caught up, so I'm into 9 pretty good, and I've been enjoying it still. You know, I mean, it's such a different feel from 8. Because 8 was such a hard... It's so hard to manage your characters and whatnot. This thing, you can play along. If you need to level up, you just go level up. You just go grind a little bit. It's just not as hard. I really like 9's story, too. It's definitely the best... It has the best use of fantasy. 8 had a good story. It wasn't really fantasy so much. Same thing with 7, even. 6, you know, there's some fantasy. But, like, this is really the all-out fantasy game, you know? Like, when you think of fantasy, like, this is what you're thinking
now,
of here.
Earlier, what we were talking about the new Final Fantasy MMO, you were just telling me this today, I think, that they actually weren't sure if that was going to be a numbered Final Fantasy game or not.
Oh, yeah. Back when they were originally making Final Fantasy IX, they weren't sure. They announced it, but they weren't sure if it was just going to be a a gaiden or whatever, you know, side story in Japan or what, because their fear was, you know, Final Fantasy got big thanks to 7, and then they had 8, and those were, you know, they were realistic games, and, you know, Final Fantasy had obviously gone in a new direction, right, and whatnot, even though every game goes in a new direction. But, you know, their fear was that people would not embrace Final Fantasy
super
9.
Super deformed characters back from the grave.
Right. So they were, you know. Are you recording, by the way?
Yeah.
Your thing's not moving along, is it?
Well, mine doesn't scroll with it for some reason.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I kind of broke the flow there. I got worried that one time.
I'm always paranoid about it.
But yeah, they were worried about calling Final Fantasy IX. They didn't announce well, but then they announced it was Final Fantasy IX. You know, and their fears were a little true, because there were some people who just didn't get Final Fantasy IX. But that was also because they announced Final Fantasy IX, 10, 11 the same day.
That was weird.
I mean, a lot of people were looking forward ahead to Final Fantasy 10 at the time. Same thing kind of happened with 12 and 13, really.
Yeah.
Because 13 was already announced when 12 came out. But, you know, those are two of my favorites, so. But I'm really enjoying 9, and I'm not going to say I'll have beaten it by this time next week. Maybe. Depends if I go crazy now, because I have
finals coming.
Finals, yeah. Not that that stopped me before. But I'll be, you know, going through, you know.
All right.
Finish the fight and all that. And then after that, I only have one left. Obviously 10. Because I already beat 12 and 11
Saga
doesn't count for the
uptime
time. Maybe I'll play Romancing Saga next.
Who?
Romancing Saga? That was just a joke. You never heard of it?
Yeah, I have. I was like, really?
You know, you said Saga. That was bad. Omega Dawn. There we go. I saved myself.
We need to find that. And if not, we need to create the, like...
I think that could be our mascot.
We need to make
the
Wikipedia page for the Omega Dawn.
Well, I don't know. I just want to make a picture of it. It could be our mascot. He could be actually exploring barrel, like, you know, it's terrific, and there could be a T-Rex there. Something like that. I'll think of some good stuff.
So, what's next? Downloadable games?
Yeah, tell us what came out. All
right, here's what we got last week.
You have Wii games to talk about now.
On the Wii, Virtual Console. First up for the NES, Double Dribble. The first 5-on-5 full court home basketball game.
Boo, NBA Jam is the only good one.
Agreed.
Moving on.
On the Super NES, Vegas Stakes, which can't be as good as Vegas Dreams on the NES.
Agreed.
Which is still in
Move
the garage,
on.
Actually. I just found it the other day.
Good.
Echo Jr. on the Sega Genesis, the GIMP version of Echo for kids.
You know what? I want more kids to play the original Echo, because I don't mess with their mind.
Oh, that game was great, and I never got past
weird.
The second level.
I mean, I was
just
freaked out by that game.
And did loops. Xbox Live Arcade, Asteroids/Asteroids Deluxe. A word of warning. I was just playing this game.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Oh, I mean, I think this is legitimate.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, you're playing Asteroids, you're mashing the A button to shoot. Well, I don't know if it was, I think like a timer ran out on my demo time. And it pops up with a thing, and you know, it's like, your trial is expired. Push A button to buy the full version of the game. So because I'm mashing A, I hit A on that screen, and the blade thing popped up. And thank God I stopped, because the next thing if you push A on is confirm download. And if you have the points in your account, it'll download it. So be careful when you're playing that.
It's not idiot-proof.
Yeah. The PSN saw pain. Remember that game they showed at E3 was like just launching a guy from a slingshot into a... Crap.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the stupidest game ever.
Pain.
Yeah.
Aptly named.
And then GameTap saw Gore, Ultimate Soldier, which is some typical FPS. Mad Gear, which is an arcade racer, top-down style from the 80s. And Toka Race Driver 3 for the PC, which is it's kind of a semi-popular realistic racing series. So basically, don't download anything this week.
Yes. All right, then. Let's see if they're going to buy anything this week.
All right.
My prediction is no. All right. December 4th, we got the Golden Compass for 360, Wii, DS, PS2, PS3, and PSP.
Do not want.
Oh, it's not on the PC. They're missing out on a platform. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, video game based off a movie. Dragon Ball Z, Budokai Tenkaichi 3 for the Wii.
No, Tenkaichi 2 wasn't terrible.
That was fun. Is there even a PS2 version of it this time?
I'm sure there will be in like 2 weeks.
Wow, over 150 characters. That's amazing. That's awesome. I more characters, the better, I think. Beowulf the Game, PSP, December 4th.
It's
going to
be much better than the console versions were.
Yeah. Godzilla Unleashed for the Wii, December 5th.
They made another one? God, why do they keep screwing up the Godzilla games? How hard is it to make
a cool... Well, they're always wrestling games.
Basically, yeah.
Interesting. Warriors of the Lost Empire, PSP, December 6th. I always love when the words hack and slasher are actually in the description.
That's not
hack
good.
And slasher, way through a city overrun with mythical beasts, investigate the source of these monsters. Jeez. Come on. Elder Scrolls IV, Shivering Isles, finally coming to the PS3, December 8th. Yu-Gi-Oh! World Championship 2008, DS, December 4th. Yeah. Card battle game. Left Brain, Right Brain, DS, December 4th.
Brain Age knockoff.
Yeah. Jenga World Tour, Wii, December 7th. Jenga on
just
the Wii.
Just go buy Jenga. You might need to pretend you're pulling the Jenga blocks. Just get Jenga. It's probably cheaper and better.
Dance Dance Revolution Universe 2, Xbox 360, December 4th.
Dance fans.
Well, you know, same people who've been playing and buying Dance Dance Revolution for the past 10 years. Draglade, DS. It's like a mix. It's like a dragon and a blade, I guess. Draglade. I don't know. December 4th, DS. It's a fighting game that features musical elements that can make your attacks more powerful. What?
That actually sounds kind of awesome.
It sounds awesome, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. Speaking of musical elements, we got Alvin and the Chipmunks coming out for the Wii, PS2, PC, and DS, December 4th.
Yuck.
It's a rhythm game.
Yeah.
Atari Classics Evolved, PSP.
Okay.
What we got here? We got Asteroids.
Uh-huh.
Asteroids Deluxe. All
right.
Battle Zone, Centipede, Lunar Lantern, Millipede, and more.
Got to fall in there.
American Girl, Julie Finds a Way, DS, December 3rd. Well, good for Julie.
Oh, that's those books.
It's a book?
It's a novel. It's a book series, American Girl. It took place during
World War
II.
Maybe this is just a book. That'd be interesting. Pocket Pals, DS, December 4th. Looks like... Like kind of like a Nintendogs, but like with dogs, cats, guinea pigs, rabbits, and chihuahuas.
Like, is it the cover where they're all like hanging out in the vet's office?
No, the cover just looks like a big bunny rabbit. Why does it say dogs, blank, 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 and chihuahuas? Chihuahua's a type of dog, right?
I guess not.
I think so. Okay, so I guess no one is going to be buying anything.
Yeah. Just keep playing everything that came out last month. That's all I'm going to do.
Do you have anything else?
It's time for the 411 on 411.
Yes, it is, I guess. All right, let's talk about what's been going on 411mania.com. Derek Robbins, the 10th hour, he's got the top 10 most wanted Smash Brothers characters.
Ooh, do tell.
It's kind of a weird list, I think. Because a lot of them are he wants people to return that haven't been announced yet. Like, number 10, he's got Captain Falcon.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't miss him, honestly, myself. I don't know. He's just this little weird... This is weird. His only Final Fantasy character, Pinello from Final Fantasy XII.
Pinello? Why not, like, Balthier?
I don't know, but he feels that Pinello has the best chance of making it in.
Is she, like, really popular and we just don't realize it?
No, she's not popular, but I think it's because she's a girl.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't see it. And because she's the star of not only Final Fantasy XII, but also Reverent Wings.
Revenant?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Wings, so that's actually a DS game. But still, there won't be a Square character in those games. Pokemon, which is another lesser known Earthbound character.
Okay, you already got one. You don't need another one.
King Arc Rule. That makes sense. The you know the boss from
the big crocodile dude.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah,
that should happen.
I can see that.
This is going Mii's from Wii.
Yeah, it'd be cool if you could just have your Mii be a character.
Right. That would be
really cool, actually.
Lucario from Pokemon. You probably don't know about this guy, but he's a very popular, like, fighting steel Pokemon.
I think I know it.
It's not the first time I heard people wanting Lucario in it. Ganondorf, which, yeah, I do really want Ganondorf
back
in it. And he, you know, he doesn't want him to be a clone anymore. He wants him to be,
right.
You know, swords and all. Number 3, Tails. I don't know. Tails used to be cool.
Yeah.
He used to be. Number 2 is Ness, because, you know, Ness isn't in yet.
Yeah, but
it looks like
Lucas the same thing?
Pretty much. So... probably not gonna happen. Number 1's Mega Man.
That'd be cool, but
and I would say if there's gonna be another third party character, it should be Mega Man.
Yeah, I agree.
Which so you know, I'll give him that. He's got some honorable mentions. Jigglypuff, Simon Belmont, Gary and Oak, Captain Olimar, Isaac Simon Belmont, that's a badass choice.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I would love that. That's actually cool. But interesting list. Some of my favorites are missing. I would love to have seen Little Mac in there. It's not happening.
Yeah, I know.
And I still want to see Gino in there.
Yes, you can keep dreaming.
I'll keep dreaming the crazy dream. You know, it could still happen.
It can. We still have 2 more months. They could announce some crazy stuff still.
Yeah, you know. Anyways, Nintendo Files by Theo Fraser. He's a Nintendo columnist. He's got some news on Unreal 3 Engine being brought to the Wii.
Yeah, by not Epic. Someone else is doing it.
Oh boy. Also that the Everybody Nintendo channel, you heard about that?
Yeah, it came out in Japan.
It's
basically wanted for its DS demo ability.
Alright, also it's got the trailer for that Namco RPG Fragile.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The game plan by James McGee is gaming about games anymore. And he's just, you know, he's asking the whole, is the PS3 more of a Blu-ray player?
Yes.
That kind of thing. Short answer.
Short answer, yes.
Yes.
With a long answer, no with a but.
The Wonder Years by Owain Brimfield. It's talking about Goof Troop game.
No way!
Yeah.
The Goof Troop.
You're probably alone.
Not the game, I mean the show. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Right, right. Hall of Shame, Vincent Chiuchi has inducted
Daikatana. You gotta tell us how you say your name.
Yeah, he's inducted Daikatana, which is an appropriate choice.
Oh, God.
You know,
John Romero is about to make you his bitch.
Right, suck it down and all that stuff. We got previews of Knight's Journey of Dreams. Turn off your damn phone.
I forgot I had it on.
Well, don't answer it. Where are you going?
Hang on.
I'll just keep doing this. We got a Monster Hunter Freedom 2 review. Black Slate Area 51 review. Are you actually talking on the phone? This is embarrassing. But that's all that's going on around 411. Are you quite done?
Okay. Alright, what were you saying?
I'm done.
Oh, okay. I'll just erase all that.
Why? I was kind of talking through it.
Okay, well...
You have to live with your shame.
Your stuff in there.
Whatever. It's good.
Okay.
All right, then. I guess that's the whole show, right?
That does seem to be it.
All right, then. Next week, we're going to have number 4 from both of us for best game of the year.
Yep.
So I'm sure there'll be more Games Plus stuff to talk about, and I'll play more Final Fantasy. Nothing real new coming out this week, so...
Yeah, expect more Mass Effect, more Rock Band. We get the Black Sabbath pack this week, so I'm excited for War Pigs.
I got my finals, so, you know, might not be playing too many games, but maybe I will. Who knows? So, you know, be
and someone has a birthday coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My birthday is this Saturday.
Mike will be turning the big 21.
You're going to play. You better do something special for me on the podcast on my birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta do something special for me.
Yeah, do something special? All right, I can do that.
You gotta figure something out.
I will wing something.
All right. Hey, guys, you got any, want to send any email? You know, I'll mention you on the podcast. You're looking for your 5 seconds of fame here. I mean, you know, you can go tell me to eat poop and I'll mention it. So just email me at tolkoto@gmail.com. Don't forget to go to 411mania.com, especially the game zone, 411mania.com/games.
Check out our site, the Exploding Barrel. Just explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
That's our blog. You never update that anymore.
I know, I'm
too bad. Terrible. But, you know, we'll be there sometime, but our show's there and stuff.
Put it in your RSS feed, and if I do say something, you'll know. There's no ads there. I don't care if you go to the actual site, just as long as you read what you say.
And, of course, we're on the iTunes News Store. You know what we gotta do? Contact Larry, because Larry, he does his podcast for the rest of the show with his wife. That was a great podcast. We should do some advertising.
Section ads.
We're part of the 411 podcast.
Record some
network.
Promos.
Yes, we are. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Stick around.
Don't go to
GameSpot. And find out who the Omega Don will.